And good morning, back here on the Mighty 690 KGGF on this Wednesday morning. Here for the 7 and 8 o'clock hours, we're joined by the Wildcat Extension District of K-State. We've got James Cooper and Jacob Weber. Welcome back in.
Morning. Thank you.
James, it has been some time since the last time I've seen you, partner, but tell you what, it's good to have you back in here. We'll get down and speak about some things that I know you wanted to talk about. We've got some time to do that, as well as the phone lines. If you have any questions around the garden, at 620-251-6909, that phone number to dial. You can call in and ask Jacob or James any questions regarding fall time into winter, especially with these temperatures getting to where they are. And I think that's a good place to start, because we're about to hit a major freeze in these
hard,
next couple of days.
Very hard freeze coming. If it hits the temperatures you said on the radio this morning, 19?
Yep, 19 on Friday night.
We haven't really dipped down into a hard freeze yet, or at least not in my area over by Columbus. I suppose it frosted here a little bit, but
nothing extreme though.
Not that. A good old cold snap hitting, but I don't expect any major issues with the woody plants, the trees, and the shrubs. They'll take it. They're now acclimating to the winter environment, and the acclimation process actually takes several months. Well, not several months. That would put us back in August. But the cooler temperatures at nighttime, the daylight diminishing less than 12 hours per day now, those are signals that for the deciduous plants to kind of start, in fact, all plants start preparing for winter, those that are perennial, the woody plant systems. And there'll be changes inside the cells itself to make that plant more tolerant of the cold wintertime temperature. But what we don't want to see is a really sudden, drastic change going like low temperatures in the 40s down to mid-teens or even in single digits. That has a tendency to do a lot of damage to trees and shrubs. But what we have here, we have plants that are getting ready, and that those cold snaps coming through, and that'll get it ready for wintertime temperatures down in the zero, at zero or even below here. Plants don't tolerate real cold spells, especially, for example, if you have azaleas, the flower buds really don't survive down into the below zero temperature. So we may end up with no flowers for next year, but I think this cold snap's not going to hurt.
Yeah, well, and I was going to ask you as well, kind of a curious question here. When you do have that drastic, mid-40s down to the teens, even single digits for an extended period of time, is that long-term damage to the tree or the shrub, whatever it may be, or kind of just for the season that it kills it off?
It's a long-term damage. Well, the trees will recover unless they're completely killed, or shrubs. But the plants that we have here are very tolerant of those temperatures. There's some exotics that may not survive very well. But overall, the plants do tolerate it. There will be some issues, maybe some tissue damage that may end up with some dieback down to the soil line for some plants. The crepe myrtle, for example, I would say exotic for this area. Well, actually, it's an introduced species from a different continent. But crepe myrtles in a lot of years will survive year to year without very minimal damage. But sometimes we'll get those real cold temperatures, and they'll die back close to the ground, and we have to do some major pruning on them. But the below ground portion is winter hardy here. That's because in the soil, temperatures are quite modified than what they are above the ground itself. But we're going to have the end of the fall color coming up, I guess, very quickly because of the this cold snap puts an end to the any foliage that's left on the trees that has the potential for changing color. Once frozen, that color development will not proceed. at all, but we're almost past the peak color anyway. Walking off air, today's a good day to get out and enjoy that color.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Take a drive around here in town, whether it's shortly out or you know, on your guys' way to back to your offices. You know, I'm sure there's areas with lots of color. Again, get out and enjoy it before the freeze comes. So that's an unfortunate time because I don't like the cool weather, but at the same time, it is that time of year. So.
It's time because we have the months that end in burr. October, now, November.
Now, with October as well, October was seemingly a little bit warmer. On average, is this kind of about the time of year that you see the foliage start to kind of go away?
Everything is proceeding from my recollection. It's pretty much normal this year. We've had some years where we had color change a little bit later into the season. We had no freezing temperatures right up to almost and past Thanksgiving some years. Not this year. It's more normal this year.
Yeah, not this year at all. I believe we do have a caller on the line. We'll go check with that. Good morning, caller. Do you have a question for Jacob or James?
I have one for Jacob. We have a yard full of leaves, sycamore leaves, maple leaves, and pecan leaves, and I was wondering, is it smart to put that on the garden, plowed in?
You want to plow it in? Well, you can do that, and you can work a lot in. What you probably want to do, incorporate a little bit of nitrogen fertilizer with those leaves, depending on how much you work in, because those leaves are not going to decompose two reasons, or won't decompose very well. They will decompose, but it'll take time. But the thing it is those leaves are very low in nitrogen, and as a result, it takes a lot longer for the soil microbes to decompose them. So if you add the nitrogen, if you make the soil microbes a little bit more efficient at decomposing the leaves. Another issue is you're going to be working those leaves into soil that's starting to cool down, and as the temperatures go down, the soil microbes that do the decomposing become less effective, efficient. They don't operate so well at colder temperatures. So if you work a lot of leaves in, you may have to delay planting a little bit next spring in that area, or you may see a slower developing crop as a result of all those leaves in the soil, because they're going to tie up some nitrogen for a bit of time before they actually start to release that nitrogen back into the soil for the plants to use. So you may have to actually bump a little bit of nitrogen in the spring for the spring planted crops if you work a lot of leaves in. But that's a good way of getting rid of the leaves. A good idea, instead of putting them in a landfill or something like that, which I don't think is permitted anymore. A good way of recycling without having to really put in a compost pile if you don't want to manage that. So, or you can, another option is if you have a mulching type mower and want to spend a lot of energy wasted, in my opinion, you can chop up those leaves and recycle them back into the soil, into the turf grass itself. You can recycle as much as one bushel per square yard back into the turf grass by chopping them up with a mower.
Does it help to shred the leaves before you plow them in?
It would probably make it a lot easier to get them worked into the soil. If you have a way of working them in, that would be fine. Usually you use a rototiller, but I tell you what, a rototiller is a brand name, a rotary tillage equipment. If you have a very efficient one, it will do a fairly good job, but it's a lot of work to work them in.
I'm gonna use a plow.
And I would imagine you'll have a lot of frustration. But
you think?
Yes, I do. Good luck.
All right, thank you.
All righty, sir. Thanks for your call. And again, phone lines are open at 620-251-6909. Kind of a good point to lead off of that as we are getting fall into the winter time. Are there any other good advice or good tips that you could come up here to kind of recycle those things around the yard that you don't have to send them off to?
I like to compost them. And, of course, we can talk about compost after this, but I have to give James some time.
Yeah, of course. And, James, real quick, we'll start with the thing that you wanted to kind of hit on here real quick, and then we'll carry into the 8 o'clock hour as well, because I'm sure we'll get into some discussion there. So we will digress over to that. But, James, real quick, lead us off. What was one thing you wanted to hit on today?
Yeah, so, you know, the election was last night all over the country. I mean, all sorts of different results. One thing that was pretty common on a lot of ballots was actually medical marijuana, industrial hemp. There was a lot of pieces to that. And here in Kansas, we didn't have something like that on our ballot, but there is a little bit of talk around industrial hemp here in Kansas. And so that's not marijuana, that's hemp. And I'm going to explain the difference a little bit. And so a couple of years back, the Industrial Crop Research Act, and which started the Industrial Hemp Research Program. I'm going to give a lot of names and acronyms here.
Of course.
But the difference between hemp and marijuana, and so, like, you know, Missouri, I think, passed a medical marijuana act just last night.
Yeah, I believe so.
However, there's a difference. The difference between hemp and marijuana is that the THC, and that's the thing that gets people high, actually. The THC is the chemical. With hemp, it's below 0.3%. And with marijuana, we've basically cultivated marijuana, so now the THC is above 20%, which is, I mean, that's a 65% or 65 times difference between...
Yeah. Drastic.
Yeah, industrial hemp to marijuana. It's not the same species that it was before. And so even though those two things are exactly the same...
There is definitely some drastic differences with them.
Drastic differences. And so, however, there's another chemical involved here. And so besides THC, you have another one, CBD. And those THC, CBD, they're on the same plant, on the same part of the plant. However, they're very different. CBD is non-intoxicating. And it does have some proven medical treatments, like it can treat epilepsy. There's some preliminary research for Parkinson's and other things. However, for the most part, CBD claims are somewhat they're not proven yet.
Yeah, so. Not as much time and as much experiments that we could do. And, you know, again, we'll dive in between the difference between CBD, THC, as well as all of that information, because, again, it's someplace that a lot of people are uninformed, and we'll get back to that here in a minute. So James Cooper and Jacob Weber here with us this morning. We'll check back in with you guys in the 8 o'clock hour here on the Mighty 690 KGGF.